This is Heather Johnson, and you're listening to the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, episode number 76, Healing the Mind Through the Nadis. This podcast is for people who want to take their health physically, emotionally, and spiritually to a whole new level using Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing tradition from India. This is the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, and I'm your host, Heather Johnson. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the Ayurveda Life School Podcast this morning. Hope that you're having a beautiful day. We got out in nature quite a bit yesterday, and it was fantastic. My family has gotten into the habit of rock climbing, and it's something that we're trying to create as a family culture. We did it a little bit when we were first married, but as our kids have gotten bigger, we are trying to have more adventures with them. So that's our newest, latest adventure, is going rock climbing. And it's really fun to get out there and see how you can challenge yourself and be comfortable with something that is so uncomfortable and so unnatural. My daughter asked, is it just an instinct to want to climb things? And so as I've thought through that, I've realized that people just have these desires sometimes to conquer and to achieve and to do things that are hard for them. And for us right now, it's rock climbing. So I hope that you're finding things that you can be challenged with, especially at this time where there's not as many opportunities maybe to engage with other people, but finding ways to get out into nature is always perfect. I wanted to talk today a little bit about the mind. I just love studying the mind and how it works and how thoughts work, how our mental processes function. And from an Ayurvedic standpoint, we get a whole different view on the mind. Today, I want to talk a little bit about the mind from the aspect of the nadis. So what exactly is a nadi? And it's spelled N-A-D-I, nadi. Nadis are the subtle energy channels in the mind. I like to think of if you had a map of the body and you could see the nervous system. Right? We have nervous system impulses flowing throughout the body. We have a thought that happens and it sends a trigger through the nervous system. We burn our hand on the stove and we pull it back because an impulse was sent from the fingers to the mind to tell it to pull back the hand. So there's a lot of things happening in there. Well, the nadis are like a subtle template of the nervous system. If you were to overlay the nadis on top of the nervous system, it would be like a subtle rendering. And so it's kind of a way of thinking it as a spiritually created aspect or a subtle aspect of the physical body. Within the body, we have identified 72,000 nadis. So there's a lot of these energy channels that are moving throughout the body. But there are three that are the ones we really focus on within the yogic Ayurvedic world. And those are Ida, Pingala, and Sushumna. So we'll talk a little bit about those in a moment specifically. Going back to just nadis in general, the nadis are subtle channels that you can't see, but they are everywhere throughout the body. And the energy is flowing in the subtle body through these nadis. The mind, when we start to look at how the mind works with the nadis, the mind is basically the sum total of all the nadis. The mind can't exist without the nadis. The nadis can't exist without the mind. They work interconnected. It's kind of like the mind is this big clearing field and this holding space for the nadis to come in and to function within the mind. The mind is providing that space for the pranic energy as well. That's what's flowing in the nadis. So when we say energy flow, what kind of energy are we talking about? We're talking about prana or pranic energy. Prana is that life force energy that is found in all things. And the word prana itself is defined in many different ways, depending on how it's being used, the application. But in this case, we're talking a little bit about the nervous system flow, the life energy flow. In the physical body, prana shows up as vata energy. It's the movement through the physical form that we can see. But in the subtle body, pranic energy controls the movement of thoughts. And it's in the nadis, it's the energy moving through the chakras and the nadis that allow for the evolution in consciousness. This prana is necessary in order to evolve to a higher state of being. And that's why as that prana moves into the mind through the nadis, it affects our consciousness, the state of consciousness. And we talk a lot about prana, tejas, and ojas, which are like the subtle doshas in the subtle body. And they're a little different than the physical vata, pitta, kapha doshas, but they govern what's happening within the mind. So as we bring in this pranic energy, it affects everything about how our body and our mind can function. So it's this force that allows for our conscious awareness to expand, that ability to have knowledge and wisdom and to be able to kind of see things in a bigger picture as opposed to just being stuck on this physical plane. And so when we start to talk about the mind and how the nadis work with it, we're really needing to understand that the nadis are just a subtle template of the body and the mind is the subtle template of the brain. Okay, so now we've kind of made that clear. There's this subtle energy. The nadis are moving this subtle pranic energy. Prana has to do with the enthusiasm in the mind, the movement of energy in the mind, the consciousness evolving into a higher state of being. So the nadis are carrying prana, and the prana is actually carrying the elements of fire, water, and ether. And that's weird to think of sometimes, because when we talk about prana in a yoga class, we're often talking about it in relationship to our breath, that we're breathing in pranic energy. So then you think, well, how am I breathing in fire, water, and ether? It's on a subtle level. So it's not a tangible level like air is when we breathe in breath. It's this subtle elements of fire, water, and ether. So when the nadis are working properly, the mind is clear and vibrant. You're psychologically healthy. You're feeling stable emotionally. You have good energy flow through both aspects of the body, through the right and left side of the body and through the center. But when the flow of those nadis gets altered, and it's not very hard to do, it actually does get altered easily, unfortunately, but it leads to diseases in the mind, the emotions, our intellect, or we call it buddhi. These problems, these diseases in the mind, emotions, or the buddhi or the intellect, they can happen in the mind, or they can happen through the subtle channels that are bringing the energy and the life force to the mind. So we really kind of look at it from both aspects. But what really is altering the flow in the mind? How is that being affected? How is the nadi and the pranic energy being impacted? It's through the doshas. When a dosha increases and enters into the mind, it's affecting the flow of the energy through the nadi. Let's look at how this cycle actually works, this cycle of disturbing the nadi. So we have this primary cause of disease. We've talked about this before. The primary cause of disease is forgetting our true nature as spirit. Everything starts at that level. When that happens, then the mind becomes disturbed, gets caught up in the dramas of life. It gets caught up in technology, in movement, in overeating, in creating buffering emotions, in feeling that you're only the physical body, in ignoring the spiritual aspects of your life. So it gets caught up in a lot of disturbances. These disturbances are called vrittis. Vrittis are thought disturbances. This is one reason why I talk a lot about thoughts and about managing our thoughts and watching our thoughts and journaling and looking at what's going on in the mind, because we want to understand what are these vrittis, what are these disturbances that are happening. If you can understand what's actually going on in there, that's where you have power, right? It starts with awareness. So after we've got these vrittis coming, the mind is disturbed because we forgot our true nature is spirit. We got caught up in the dramas of life. We're having these vrittis. Those vrittis alter the flow of energy in the nadis. Look at how powerful our thoughts are. These thought disturbances are what really cause the beginning of these problems. So when these vrittis have entered and affected the flow of energy, it's going to alter your enthusiasm, your clarity, your peacefulness, your bliss. The type of vritti depends on the dosha that was disturbed. So if you have vata dosha that was disturbed, remember we talked again that when the dosha enters the mind, this is where we start to have these problems within the nadi that alters the flow of prana. So we have this dosha that's disturbed. That means it was increased or aggravated. So vata dosha, let's say you were on the computer all day today, lots of work, lots of Zoom calls, lots of time with electronic stimulation, and you weren't using all the senses. So you're just looking at something or hearing something. And so your vata dosha has been aggravated or disturbed. When that vata dosha begins to increase, it's then going to cause a certain type of vritti. A vata-based vritti is going to look like distracted, lack of focus, anxiety, worry. All of the emotions that we've talked about that are imbalances within vata are vrittis, or thought disturbances caused by this rising vata energy that then affects the nadis or the movement of prana in the mind. So it's going to be very scattered all over the place and have a really hard time kind of reining itself in. It's going to tend towards more dryness in the emotions, lack of connection with other people. Now, if you're having a pitta increase and pitta dosha is aggravated, that's going to lead to vritti disturbances or thought disturbances that look more like criticism or anger or judgment or hyper-focused or overworking or just intensity, this huge intense level where you're really wanting everything to be perfect. If you're having these kapha dosha increases, that's going to lead to kapha type vrittis or disturbances. Kapha vrittis are going to show up like excessive watery emotions, a lot of drama, maybe some tears and crying, attachment, really strong driving emotions that cause us to do things that maybe are too sacrificial. We're doing all these actions to show love towards other people, but we do it in more of a manipulative way where we're trying to gain control and we want to be able to control the situation. So that's how these thought disturbances are affected by the different doshas. And so it really does start with this doshic increase and this forgetting our true nature as spirit. These two things come together and we're really having these thought disturbances. You may have a tendency towards a particular type of thought disturbance based upon your doshic balance, but you are capable of having all kinds. You can have all three. Even if you don't have very much of a particular dosha in you, you may still have that experience of that doshic increase and the vrittis that go along with that. So no one is immune, unfortunately. So let's look at the three nadis that we were talking about and really hone in on how we can affect those and change those through some of our behaviors. So the first main nadi is called the Sushumna nadi, and it comes from the first chakra, the base of the spine, the Muladhara chakra, and it rises up through the spinal canal. So if you looked at the physical template of it, it would be the spinal canal, and then the subtle template of it is the nadi or this energy channel that rises up throughout it. This is the one when you talk about Kundalini awakening and rising energy of Kundalini, they're talking about the Sushumna nadi. And we do this through a lot of practices where we're waking up the chakras, we're trying to open up and create a little bit more space in there and have energy rise up. The center of the Sushumna nadi is considered to be hollow, and they call it the void of pure awareness. And it's a focal point for a lot of meditation practices. So when you're sitting and we tell you in a meditation to sit tall, lengthen out your spine, root down through your sit bones, feel that length, it's because we want you to connect more into that inner channel that goes up that subtle Sushumna nadi. The second nadi that we'll look at is the Ida nadi. Ida nadi goes from the base of the spine, also from the Muladhara chakra or the root chakra, and it comes up and it winds around the spine, kind of like a big snake coil, and it ends on the left nostrils. It's also called the lunar nadi, and it is tied in with the water element. So it's a very cooling energy. It has a lot more of those watery emotions like love, attachment, and feeling deeply. So when there's an increased activity in the Ida nadi, you're going to have more of those watery type emotions, which makes sense. Then we look at the other nadi, the Pingala nadi. It also starts at the base of the spine and it ends on the right nostril. It's called the solar nadi. So it's the fire element, right? And you can remember that because solar, sun, heat, fire. Its energy is very warm. And if you increase that nadi, the Pingala nadi, you're going to increase more of the intellect, the reasoning, perception, discrimination. There's been a lot of different correlations made between the nadis and what's happening in the physical body. One of the most common ones is that the Ida nadi increases the activities on the right side of the brain and then your feminine qualities. And I remember that by thinking, okay, I'm on the left side of the nostril is where the Ida ends and it's connected to the right side of the brain. So it's the opposite side of the brain. And then when you're working with the Pingala nadi, that one's ending on the right side of the nostril and it's affecting the left side of the brain and the masculine qualities. So it helps you to realize, okay, we have the heat and fire of masculinity in the Pingala nadi. And then we have the coolness of the lunar energy in the Ida nadi talking to the feminine right side of the brain. So it takes a little bit of practice kind of looking at that before you can remember which goes where. The reason that it's important to understand that is sometimes if you feel a lot of these heated analytical left side brain emotions, we know that we're dealing with working on the Pingala nadi in order to maybe decrease those. And if we're dealing with too much of these soft, watery, I'm crying at every Hallmark commercial kind of emotions, we know that's the Ida nadi, and we want to deal with those feminine watery qualities and kind of work on that aspect. So that's why I like to know the difference between the two of those. So they both play a really important role though in the spiritual advancement of someone. If your nadis are really clear of impurities, you have prana that's flowing freely through both channels, then your energy naturally draws into this center. We talk so often in yoga practice about focusing on your center and keeping your energy in the center and looking at your core and where's the center of your being. But if you're so scattered and you're kind of being pulled every direction, it's hard to focus on your center. But when we can get the Ida and the Pingala nadi to have energy flowing real clear through them, then you're naturally able to draw your energy into that Sushumna nadi, that center nadi, and have that pranic energy come up through that nadi and have more light, more bliss, more joy, and you have more of a higher consciousness experience of the world and how you're experiencing life around you. We do a lot of pranayama or breath techniques within yoga and Ayurveda in order to balance out the energy between these nadis so we can get that energy rising up through the shishumna. So it doesn't have to be a huge etheric complicated exercise. We'll talk a little bit more about the types of breath you can do for that, but that's how those nadis kind of work together and interact with one another. Pranic energy is flowing through the different nadis, along with the qualities of the element associated with that nadi. Shishumna nadi is ether element, Pingala nadi is fire element, and Ida nadi is water. So we're dealing with fire, ether, and water within the nadis. Pranic energy is flowing in there along with those elements that are associated with them. And so we can have excess flow. You can get too much fire. You can get too much water, too much ether. And it's usually caused by an overstimulation of the nadi. And it could just be through breath practices you're doing or physical activity. But you can also have problems caused by a decreased or blocked flow through the opposing nadi. We kind of like to think of them as working side by side. So if you have an increased flow through Pingala, you're probably going to have a decreased flow through Ida. If you're going to have an increased flow through Ida, you'll probably have a decreased flow through Pingala. So they kind of work together in that way. Let's look at each of the individual nadis and what it looks like if you have excess energy moving in those nadis and if you have a decrease of that energy, and then we'll talk about how we can balance it. The Ida nadi first. This one is our water element. So when you have excess flow or you have too much water element moving through this nadi, you have an increase in your watery qualities in the subtle body. So it might not show up as excess water in the physical body, but it's going to be an emotional template. What happens here is that you're going to have feelings of overattachment. You have a lot of the softer emotions, like too much of this conditional love. There'll be an effort to control the people who you love. Your deeper feelings become really exaggerated. Everything becomes sentimental. Everything becomes really vitally important. You want to hold on to things. You get really attached. A person who has too much flow going through this is easily emotionally moved and cries really easily. I have had these types of experiences in my life where I'm like, oh my goodness, I have too much water going on in my emotions right now. And I'm literally crying at everything. I recall when I was expecting one of my first children and my husband gave me a phone for Christmas. This is before fancy cell phones. It was literally a house phone because I needed to have a phone at the house so that I could start working at home once the baby had come. I opened this phone and just burst into tears. I tell you, every present I got that year, I cried. And normally, you know, crying means somebody really likes the gift. This year, it didn't mean that. It just meant there was so much watery emotion. And I know some of it was tied to that energy flow and how it was being affected because of me being pregnant. So it's just a real key example that we can have these watery emotions and they can lead to feelings of really being attached. And everything is perceived as being so sweet and you need to have tenderness and love. And it's kind of an overdone emotion. Now, if you're having decreased flow in the Ida nadi, you don't have enough of this watery emotion, there becomes a hardness and a rigidity in your mind. So you're not able to have deep feelings. You have a difficulty forming attachments. You can let go of things much too easily, like there's no bonds being created there. There's also going to be signs when you have this decreased flow through the water element side that you're going to have excess flow in Pingala. There's going to be too much heat and you're too much fire. So it's good to kind of look at how those interact with one another, how they play together. What's interesting is that there's sub-doshas of the body that are affected when the change in prana through the Ida nadi is happening. And so it's actually affecting Charpaka Kapha. So when you have an increase in flow through the Ida nadi, ending on the left side of the nostril, affecting the watery emotions, you're also going to have an increased in Charpaka Kapha. Charpaka Kapha is the Kapha dosha that is in the mind. So it's increasing Kapha, which makes sense because Kapha dosha is made up of earth and water. So when you're having an increase in this Ida nadi, water element is increasing, then you're going to have this increase in Charpaka Kapha in the mind. Let's look at Pingala Nadi. Pingala Nadi, again, is that fire element. It comes up and ends on the right side of the nose, and it connects with the left side of the brain. It's the fiery intellect element and energy, okay? So when you have an excess flow of Pingala Nadi, you're going to have increased fire qualities in your subtle body. You end up having more discrimination, and understanding is very strong. However, if it's too high, if you really get a lot of this going on, you can become blinded to the truth. truth. It's almost like your view of truth is distorted and you become very self-righteous, overly logical, judgmental, very critical. And on the surface, your intellect appears really strong. You appear to be a very smart, intellectual person, but you're typically relying only on the physical world in order to create a picture of reality. You're not seeing a little bit more discrimination into what's going on a subtle plane. You stay very much on the surface. And so it's a limited perception. You're not able to see things fully when you have increase in Pingala Nadi flow. When there's a decrease in flow, you actually have a difficulty reasoning. There's confusion, lack of clarity, really poor discrimination. It's hard for you to tell between what is true and what is false. And sometimes you even become kind of gullible or easily fooled. When you're in this state of a decreased flow in that Pingala Nadi, decreased fire, there tends to be a corresponding increased flow in the Ida Nadi. So you're gonna have more watery emotions, more water element, less fire element. And that's all on the subtle level. Increased flow in Pingala also affects the subtle doshas. And the subtle dosha that it will affect is Sadaka Pitta. Sadaka Pitta is the subdosha of Pitta that resides in the brain and the subtle heart. And so an increased flow in Pingala or fire element is gonna increase Sadaka Pitta or the mental fire in the brain. That makes sense as well because Pitta is fire element, Pingala Nadi is controlling fire element. Now let's look at Shushumna. So Shushumna is that main nadi that runs up the spinal channel. And when you have an excess flow of prana through the Shushumna Nadi, you get very etheric. You're ending up very heightening in your senses. You're very aware. You might have some psychic feelings, like you can really connect and read things on a subtle level. But as the flow continues to increase too much, you get more unstable in the mind. Ether is a very unstable element. And your awareness becomes more profound. You're really able to see things from a spiritual plane, but you kind of get ungrounded, right? The lines between the physical world and the subtle world begin to blur, and you have a harder time connecting with the physical reality that's around you. We've all known some people like that get really caught up in the etheric side of things, and they get just very ungrounded. They're kind of spacey, and it makes sense, right? Because ether is a space element. So when we say someone's kind of being spacey, they got too much ether going on. Now, if there's a decreased flow through Shushumna Nadi, then you become very dull and your senses are very dull. You lose that connection with the spiritual world and become very much rooted in ignorance. You only can see what's right in front of your face and you're not able to have that connection with that spiritual subtle plane. When we notice these alterations in the flow through the nadis, it's showing us a reflection of our consciousness. We're able to see where we're at on our consciousness. And we've talked before a little bit about karma and past experience karma and samskaras, which are tendencies that come along with that karma. What's interesting is that the challenges that form and emerge in our life are based upon this past karma and also these samskaras, but they're there in order to help us increase our awareness and our connection to God or higher power. So these challenges and things that come up really aren't an obstacle. They are the way to our higher self. I remind myself that a lot when my kids are trying my patience and I'm like, oh, these kids are not in the way of my personal development. They are the way to my personal development, which is so obvious. You see the growth that happens through relationships and through challenges and through trials, things like this COVID that we're dealing with and the ways that we've been able to rise above and become in our higher self because of that. But when a person learns the lessons that you're needing to learn based upon this karma, kind of having these in situations come up over and over again, then the symptom's no longer useful. The thing that you're struggling with isn't useful anymore and it just disappears. And I wonder on a group consciousness level what we need to be learning from COVID and from this pandemic right now and from all of the racial situations that we're dealing with and just so many trials that we're going through as a collective group. What are we needing to learn from this so that we can let it go and it will end? And until we get to that space, I think we're going to keep having this 2020 kind of experience over and over again so that we can learn these truths and you work through kind of this karma that was been created. Now, what affects the nadis and their ability to actually be balanced? One of them is what we just talked about, our karma. Another one is through our diet. So the effect of diet is really strong on the nadis. If you're having a pure, light, whole diet, it's going to increase the flow through the nadis, while a heavy diet that produces ama, that's full of toxins, is going to decrease the flow. And our attitudes and emotions are also a reflection of the state of the flow in the nadis, but they're a reinforcement. They're kind of like a which came first. Is it our attitude or is it the actual naughties that are causing it? So we want to make sure that our attitudes and emotions are at a higher vibrational level to help that energy move at a higher vibration. Because when you're depressed or you have suppressed emotions, it's going to decrease the flow. And when you have joyful emotions coming from a place of love and communicating your feelings, it's going to increase your flow. So we want to have that increased flow. The goal with these subtle energies is to have them all increasing at equal levels so that we're not having one really high and the other really low. We're always trying to find that balance in there. We also have a connection through the breath. If you're breathing really shallow, it's going to decrease the flow through the nadis. Meditation and pranayama are important. When we're not doing any of these practices, we tend to find that our breath energy is very low, which decreases the flow. And meditation is just a way for us to kind of increase that state. Our state of mind and the nature of your thoughts reflect and influence the flow through the nadis. So they kind of act as a mirror of what's happening in the nadis, but when we shift the thoughts, that affects what's happening in the nadis. And so because we have power at thought level, when we shift our thoughts, we can influence the kind of energy that's moving up through the nadis and the channels in the body, which I love. I don't like being told that something is out of my ability to influence, that I can't do anything about it to shift it or change it. And so if you take nothing else from this, know that the energy that's moving through the nadis in your body can be controlled through your thoughts, okay? So working on your thoughts is a really important thing. And something else that's really interesting is that having a sexual orgasm can also affect flow. So it's gonna increase the flow through all the nadis. That's why you feel so much more calm. You experience deeper love, greater clarity following that experience, just because it kind of opens you more to the spiritual aspects of life. So let's talk about how we heal the nadis. There's a real first step that's important, and it's called self-awareness. We have to first understand that these deeper imbalances are kind of at a deep level, and human nature is that we believe that our perception of the world is the one and the only way to perceive the world. And it's something that we're kind of taught as a young child, if we're being taught the beliefs of our parents, that this is the way it is, this is the way the world is, this is the way that is right, and this is how we should do it and be a human. But as we grow and we have more self-awareness, we're able to make those decisions for ourselves, but it takes some time. It takes time to change these beliefs. And until you have at least a small degree of self-awareness, you're going to be more defensive against changing your perceptions. You don't want to be told that your perceptions maybe are inaccurate. You don't want to see things a different way because you want to hold on to what you believe is true. But once you can gain that awareness, then you can take practices that will help to normalize the flow and repair anything that's been damaging to the nadis of the body. The personality heals very slowly. It's a lot easier to work on the body than it is to work on the mind, but the mind influences the body, so we can start there too. I'm going to share with you several simple things you can do to help to heal and strengthen the flow within the nadis. The first one is focus on building ojas. Ojas is that strength and immunity. Actually, on my website, if you haven't been there before, there's a pop-up that you can put your email in and it will send you a worksheet that I created about building your ojas. And so that's a really great place for you to start. But we do that a lot through the practices that we take, the rest that we get, the diet. So you can just Google even how to build ojas. It's OJAS. And you'll get a lot of information there. I've got some other episodes here as well about ojas. But the more that we can do to strengthen and build ojas, it creates a container for the elements and the energy to be able to rise in a healthy way. And so that's your first goal, is to strengthen and build your ojas. That will help whether you have an increased flow or a decreased flow. Building ojas is good. Now, if you have a blocked flow through a nadi where you really aren't getting any energy moving through that, then we want to purify. So that's our next step. So we're going to build ojas, and then we're going to do some purification techniques. One of those includes the cultivation of silence. How hard is it for us to be silent, for us to just be in stillness, to listen? How hard is it even to have these spaces in what I'm saying? We have to cultivate stillness. And if that's a challenging thing for you, know that you're not alone in this. Our mind and our brain wants constant stimulation. and that we heal it and cause it to slow down and to allow that energy to flow more clearly when we cultivate silence. This could look like taking a few days retreat where you literally have no talking, no outside sensory impulse of fake and artificial sounds. You can do this by going out into nature. There's beautiful places that do silence retreats. You could just tell everyone around you, I'm not talking for a few days. So there's opportunities then for you to go more inner into your inner world instead of being so stimulated outside. The next practice that I wanted to share with you is pranayama. Breath practice is so fantastic for healing and balancing the nadis, and it doesn't cost you any money and it doesn't take very much time at all. There's a couple that I really recommend. The first is alternate nostril breathing. It is also called Anuloma Viloma, and it's a really important pranayama practice because it purifies both the Ida and Pingala nadis. It allows the breath to alternate between the nostrils on the inhale and exhale, and so it's balancing the flow of prana. It's mildly increasing the flow through Ida and Pingala, but equally. So it's equally increasing the fire and water elements. And when you balance the flow, like we talked about, then prana can be drawn into the center or Sushumna Nadi and increase ether as well. It's really the most commonly practiced form of pranayama breath, and it's very good for building your prana, your tejas, and it's neutral to ojas. Anyone who's new to breath practice, I really recommend alternate nostril Anuloma Viloma breath. It's really fantastic for that. Another form that you can use if you just want to purify the Ida Nadi and increase the flow through it. So if you're not having enough energy flow through the watery side of your emotions, then we're going to do what's called lunar pranayama. So when we do lunar pranayama, we're going to breathe in through the left nostril and exhale out through the right nostril. Similar to alternate nostril breathing, but we're only breathing in on the left and then we're breathing out on the right. It's going to stimulate Ida Nadi. It's going to draw the prana into it to help increase the watery qualities. And it's really useful for increasing ojas as well. A third pranayama practice we do is called solar pranayama, and it's going to increase the flow through the Pingala Nadi. And you can remember this, right? Because solar, sun, heat, fire, Pingala Nadi. Increase the flow through Pingala Nadi by inhaling through the right nostril and exhaling through the left. The way that I remember these is to think, okay, I'm going to inhale on the side that I want to increase. So if I end with Pingala Nadis on the right side of my nostril and it connects with my left brain, it's the solar pranayama, the solar nadi. Then I want to increase and inhale on the right side to bring in more fire. Remember that whichever side you're inhaling, that is the side that you're going to be increasing. So if you can start to remember which side of the nostril the nadis end on, Pingala is on the right, Ida on the left, then you know by breathing in on that same nostril, you're increasing the flow through that nadi. The fourth practice that you can do is called Kapalabhati or shining skull. And this is a real fast breath that you're forcibly exhaling the air from your lungs and you're drawing in the abdominal muscles. So you're pulling the abdominal muscles in as you exhale and then passively inhaling. And you can get to go pretty quick with that after you've practiced it for a while. This one is really good for stimulating that energy rising up through the Sushumna Nadi. Don't want to do this breath a lot if you don't have a lot of immunity or strength because it will decrease your ojas, and use this breath only when you have good strong ojas. So those are the four breath practices that you can do. So alternate nostril breathing equally balances Ida and Pingala Nadi and then brings Sushumna Nadi up as well. Lunar pranayama, which is going to increase Ida Nadi, the water elements, and it's going to mildly increase ojas. And then the third one is that solar pranayama, and this is the one working on increasing Pingala Nadi, breathing in through the right nostril, increasing that fire element. This one will have a slight decrease to ojas. So if your ojas is not strong, then we don't want to do a lot of that one. And then the fourth one is that Kapalabhati breath, which is going to really stimulate the energy rising up through the center of the spine through Sushumna Nadi, and it will cause a decrease in ojas. So we don't do that one a lot if our ojas is not strong. All right, so that was our third thing. So we talked about building ojas first, cultivating silence, practicing pranayama, and then living a sattvic life, particularly through your diet that is light, pure, easily digested. So lots of fresh fruits, raw vegetables, and if you're having digestive issues, you can cook those, and I always recommend that. Sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, mung beans, so kitchery would be a good thing to increase the pranic energy here. Organic food, make sure you're using spices based on your constitution, so you're heavily spiced for kaphas, moderately spiced for vatas, and mild spices for pittas. And then you want to make sure that you're using a lot of herbs that have a pungent and bitter taste released, which really helps to purify. So we want to make sure we have strong enough ojas when we're doing this purification therapy, because we don't want to deplete the body, right? So we're always keeping that ojas in mind. Now, when we're looking at these nadis and just implementing this into our life, we can start really simple. Maybe it's a 9 rounds of alternate nostril breath in the morning. And maybe we take a few minutes at night and we try to cool down for the evening. And so we'll do some lunar pranayama, breathing in through the left nostril, out through the right. That's really all it takes. So even though there's a lot of information to understand about how the Ida, Shishumna, and Pingala Nadi all work together, we can really just start to break it down into, well, what are the actions I can take? Okay, I can have more silence in my day. I can spend a little more time in meditation, focusing on the spine and lengthening through that spine. I can take my breath practices, make sure that I'm eating foods that are going to be really filling and nourishing to my body and that are whole and organic. And then always keeping an eye on my ojas. How is my strength? How is my immunity? How is my contentment? Do I have energy for life? Am I feeling balanced and I'm able to withstand the stress that comes in? That's how you know your ojas is strong. So start looking at some of those things. Do some little self-awareness exercising. Practice that breath. It really makes a huge difference. This is something we actually are working on this next month in Scholars through our cleanse. So we're doing a seasonal cleanse in our October Scholars Program. And it's a beautiful way to purify the body using a lot of these techniques so that you can start the season out really strong. If you want to learn more about Scholars, you can go to ayurvedalifeschool.com/Ayurveda Scholars. If you're newer to Ayurveda or you just want to really immerse yourself, we also have a 28-day immersion program, and that you can learn more about at ayurvedalifeschool.com/Ayurveda immersion. Try to create these programs that are accessible to you, that you can do from anywhere, and that can really help you to take steps to change your life, because that's what Ayurveda is all about, is evolving to this higher state of consciousness. So I hope that you have a beautiful week, that you can do some of these practices and see a difference in your mental state as we heal our mind using the nadis. Have a beautiful week. We'll talk to you next week. Namaste.
Before you go, was this episode helpful for you? Well, the most helpful thing you can do in return is to leave a review in iTunes. The reviews are what keep the podcast going. And be sure to subscribe and share this episode if you loved it.
You can connect with me online at ayurvedalifeschool.com, on Instagram, and on Facebook at Ayurveda Life School. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.